All right, how about hour number two on a Friday? They are playing Super Regional Baseball. Texas won't play, of course, till later tomorrow. You get to ease into this one, Texas fans. The first two teams out there are East Carolina and Vanderbilt. Vandy's up 1-0. They're going top seven. This thing's getting down to it now. 2 o'clock is when Texas Tech will get started with Stanford. Later on, NC State and Arkansas and Ole Miss and Arizona. Those are your four series that start today. All teams will be in action by the time you get through, by the time you get into tomorrow. Hopefully there's no rain, knock on wood, that around the country we don't have a lot of rain. But you'll have all 16 teams in action tomorrow throughout the day. And because of that, wanted to jump on, as we have every Friday for a while now, with our guy, Dustin McComas. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. And welcome, Dustin McComas, from OrangeBloods.com. And soon to be headed to another place. First off, Dustin, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's been an eventful week for me personally. Certainly an emotional one, but my last day at Orange Woods will be June 30th. But I think I'm gonna have a long Omaha stay in there to cover before I head off to my next venture. So fingers crossed, and it sets up very well for Texas this weekend to keep playing in Omaha for a while.
That would be a hell of a way for you to close the Orange Bloods door. That'd be pretty impressive. So just so we clarify, and before I have you tell people exactly what you're going to be doing, in case somebody was thinking, did I miss like a bar fight between Dustin McComas and Jeff Ketchum? Did Jeff Ketchum like make Dustin put his job up in a hand of poker? Like nothing like that happened, correct?
No, correct. Yeah, I, as far as I know, I wasn't fired or anything like that. It was nothing of the sort. You're not going to see some story come out in the Statesman about me raising hell downtown or something like that. So nothing of that sort.
That's good. That is good to know. So it's one of those weird things of I didn't think of it, but if somebody had walked up to me and said, "Hey, if Dustin McComas is leaving Orange Bloods, what's he going to be doing?" I'm like, well, baseball is what he's going to be doing. And I'm glad to know that I was right about that. Tell people about Five Tool and exactly what you're going to be a part of.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of baseball, as you would predict. That's if I'm going to leave Orange Bloods, it's got to be something for that. So long story short, Five Tool is an organization that puts on a lot of select baseball tournaments, a lot of showcase events. They even have a collegiate league that guys play in, and they're going to start doing a lot more written content in the future, player rankings and that sort of thing. So for those people listening that are familiar with like football recruiting and things like that, it's kind of similar to a Rivals.com, but for high school baseball. And also it puts on a lot of premier events around the state of Texas and starting to expand into the national realm as well. So we'll be doing a ton of amateur baseball stuff for them, and I'll also be helping a select organization in the area, Kane Southwest, kind of with their brand, their marketing, with their scouting, and just kind of helping more kids get seen, get some exposure. I'm particularly excited about being able to share a lot of my experiences with families and young kids about the recruiting process and a lot of things that I didn't know when I was 15, 16, 17 years old that I hope to share with a lot more of these people and just kind of help the game get growing, help kids get seen, and help more of these kids get an opportunity to continue playing, whether that's college or professionally.
That is very, very cool. I'm so happy for you, proud of you. Congratulations on all of that. And now, if you maybe had put a little bit of the King of Ping memorabilia away, you really got to lean into that now, brother, because you are the King of Ping on every level.
It fits now. It totally fits now. But it fits more perfectly than it ever has fit before. But, yeah, I'm going to be hearing a lot of ping for the next few years as I'm watching a lot of high school baseball games.
No doubt about it. Well, congrats on that. And for the people that are interested in finding out more about it, is it fivetool.com in terms of finding it?
Yes, fivetool.com.
And the number five.
Maybe. I should probably know that. Spelled out, Five Tool.
Oh, spelled out. Okay, all spelled out, fivetool.com. Check it out with Dustin McComas. Dustin is going to continue to be on the show with us all the way through this Longhorn run. And like you said, Dustin, you're hoping that it is a long run that gets them back to Omaha as of this weekend. And then ultimately, it would go all the way to the end of June if they're in it for the long haul. So let's lay this out, because as the number two overall seed, you know, I've heard the discussion of, well, would it be disappointing? What would it be, slightly disappointing, kind of disappointing? This would be a shocker if they don't get to Omaha, correct?
Yeah, it would be a shocker. You know, it's, you know, like, for example, let's look at Arkansas, and they're playing NC State, who came out of that Rustin Regional, and I guess, you know, you could call it an upset because Louisiana Tech was hosting that in the number 16 overall seed. And, you know, if Arkansas lost to NC State, you'd be surprised. But if Texas loses to South Florida, that's a stunner. You just, you know, like they say, you don't play these things on paper. But if we're looking at this thing on paper, a four seed coming out of the Gainesville Regional, a team that had to win their conference tournament to get into the NCAA postseason, a team that is making their first, their program is making their first super regional appearance. So, yeah, it would definitely be a shocker. And looking at how Texas played this last weekend in Austin, in the Austin Regional, they thoroughly dominated every aspect of that regional, probably as convincing or more convincing than any team in the country. So, yeah, this matchup, it would be a shocker if Texas doesn't win the Austin Super Regional. And also, too, because you're playing basically a series now. And the way Texas' three starters are pitching, good luck beating those guys at home.
So, Dustin, obviously, you know, I guess the it's not really nitpicking, but the one thing you could say about the way they won last week is, okay, well, what if they get in a close game? And what if, you know, if they do get dragged into a 3-2 style baseball game, where's your confidence level in a super regional setting with the pitching that they have that they'll be able to handle it?
Yeah, it's very high, and it's mostly because of the bullpen and also just the experiences they've had throughout the entire regular season. This is a team that's been really mentally tough in a lot of tight late-game type situations when those situations have been present. And I just – you look at the bullpens on paper, and, South Florida is going to pitch. They can pitch. They did a really good job in the Gainesville Regional, limiting free passes, executing pitches. I mean, if they're going to make some noise this weekend in the Super Regional, that's going to be how they do it. But if you look at their depth and their bullpen – they just don't have the power arms that Texas has coming out of there. I mean, a guy like Cole Quintanilla is throwing as well as he's ever thrown in a Texas uniform. I mean, he touched 98 miles an hour in the regional. I've never seen him throw that hard before at Texas. And we know what Tanner Witt's capable of. I mean, that guy looks like a surefire first-round pick when he leaves Texas as a junior, assuming no injuries, of course. And then, you know, Aaron Nixon, you know, I know some people had some questions about Aaron Nixon coming out of the Big 12 tournament. I can tell you one group that didn't have any questions about him at all, and that was his teammates and his coaches. They know what they have in Aaron Nixon. So when you look at the way that bullpen stacks up, in the way Texas has competed in their ability to win games in a variety of ways, I feel very confident that if they do find themselves in one of those tight games, which is possible considering the way South Florida played in the Gainesville Regional, if they do find themselves in those types of games, they're going to have some success.
You mentioned Quintanilla and that fastball. That's normal, right, for a team to be in a regional and they just put a guy out there just so they can get him a little work and he touches 98? That's a normal thing, right? Everybody gets to do that in the regional?
Yeah. That's definitely not normal. You're looking at, you know, Arkansas, for example, had to go to Kevin Copps, who's probably going to be the national player of the year and just had a ridiculously good season as a reliever, just unheard of the numbers he's put up. And Arkansas had to go to him a lot. I mean, he had a huge workload in that regional. And Texas is, you know, they're up 12-2 on Fairfield. And it's like, well, okay, the weekend's about to end. We've got to get Nixon and Quintanilla in there, get those guys some work. Let's, you know, let's get Aaron Nixon an opportunity to throw in the postseason for the first time in his career. So, yeah, that's a little unusual. And I'm sure Fairfield's thinking, oh, come on. Like, this guy's coming down the pin, throw 98. We're already down 12-2. I mean, you know, you don't have to keep beating us up. We're dead already.
Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. And, again, check out 5tool.com for what he's got coming up for you in a little while after the Longhorns finish their run. Dustin, in terms of in terms of this team and – you know, we know where the pitching is. We know how good they have looked. Give me a sense for kind of an unsung batter. We know at times it's about that key at bat. It might be about, hey, who's that guy in the five hole? Hey, who's batting seventh? Hey, who's the guy that happens to be coming up in moments? Is there some particular Longhorn, maybe it's not a big name, that you're seeing good things from right now where you're thinking, hey, if it's a big moment and there's a couple runners on, South Florida really needs to be careful with that guy?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, there's not a lot of unsung guys in this lineup because so many of them have had great moments or great seasons already. You know, Mitchell Daly is a household name now. I mean, we know what Zach Zuby is capable of. We've seen Ivan Melendez when he's right. You know, I think that, and I'll be curious how much, you know, he plays. But, you know, if you look at South Florida's projected starters, both listed as righties, Eric Kennedy is a guy that's been really swinging the bat well the last few weeks. And there was a point in time where his confidence just wasn't there. He just was not having any success at all. And we saw in the regional that Texas basically treated left field as a platoon. When they faced a starting pitcher that was left-handed, they played Dylan Campbell to get the right-handed bat in there. Whenever that team went to the bullpen and started going to right-handed pitchers, they inserted Eric Kennedy in the game. And, you know, starting with the Big 12 tournament, it started to kind of show that final regular season series against West Virginia. And then when he got his appearances in the regional, he had a couple of atom balls right at guys. Eric Kennedy's been swinging the bat pretty well. And we know that he can terrorize defenses with his ability with the bunt. I mean, there's been a couple of times now he's put down a bunt and ended up on third because there's people rush a throw because they know how fast he is. So I would certainly keep an eye on him because he totally changes that lineup if he's at the bottom of it and he's able to kind of provide that dynamic presence to where if he gets on base, he's going to steal second base. He can put the bunt down, but he's starting to make hard contact more as well. And there's such a different lineup when he's right, and he's started to look right the last few weeks.
So, Dustin, not trying to insult South Florida here, but is there anything that they would have experienced that's going to come close to tomorrow night? That the scene, whatever the dishes are going to be, it already sold out. It sold out quickly. Have they been close to the atmosphere they're going to see?
No, I don't think so. You know, they played at Texas Tech earlier this season in late March, but, you know, back then things just weren't normal.
Right.
They weren't full capacity. It's going to be nothing like what they see in Austin this weekend. And, you know, the Gainesville Regional just, you know, despite Florida being really good, just wasn't really well attended. And part of that was the weather. I mean, there was like a weather delay every single game played in that regional. And that to me is going to be fascinating because, you know, these guys haven't seen an environment like this. And they probably haven't seen stuff quite like Ty Madden's going to throw at them on a consistent basis. And, man, that can make your head start spinning. I think that's what happened against Arizona State, you know, when they got into their Saturday night in that regional. And, you know, even playing the Pac-12, they don't see many guys like Ty Madden. All of a sudden they're expanding the zone, they're swinging at sliders in the turf, and that crowd gets rocking and rolling. They start booting the ball around defensively, and it really affected them. And I'll be curious to see that could be the same type of thing that happens to South Florida because they haven't seen anything like what they're going to run into Saturday night. I mean, 8 o'clock start. People are going to be fired up.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a million degrees because it's going to be at night. They're going to have all day to do whatever they do to get ready for the game. And I'm telling you, man, that crowd last Saturday was one of the best crowds I've ever seen at Dishbach Field. People were into the first pitch from the beginning. It's like when the national anthem ended, people just let out a roar. And it's like, okay, it's going to be one of those types of environments.
Well, that's the reason I threw out this question yesterday, and I've continued it today, Dustin. I'm asking people for their favorite crowd moments. And sometimes it's been concerts, and sometimes it's been sporting events. And I started the conversation with the dish because of what we saw last weekend and what we're theoretically going to see. When I say to you, atmosphere at the dish, outside of last week, what's one that sticks in your head? Like what's an example you could give the people of, okay, this is when the dish was awesome and it became a scene. It became its own thing.
You know, it really started to, I think one of the last times it was like what it was this past weekend was 2018 when people started to really understand what Cody Clemens was doing and what that team was capable of. And, you know, one of the things I'll never forget, you know, as I kind of move on and hang up the, you know, the Orange Blitz riding shoes, when Cody Clemens hit that walk-off homer against TCU in that final regular season series, it was just pure electricity everywhere. There weren't 7,000 people there, but, you know, it was the first time in a while it was like that place had its energy back. You know, just everybody could totally sense what was going to happen before it happened. And I remember we talked to Cody Clemens after the game, and it was either him or Duke Ellis that said they started to get goosebumps when Clemens was walking to the batter's box because of just the energy that was building in the stadium there. And that's a moment I'll always remember. And also, too, you know, 2009 when they were just rocking and rolling just on that run to Omaha, that was just such a tough place for opposing teams to come in there and play because they just carried themselves like a team that knew that you just could not beat them at home, and the crowd reacted that way as well.
Talking with Dustin McComas, obviously check out orangebloods.com. Dustin would even tell you to keep checking out orangebloods.com for all time. I read your goodbye piece, Dustin, and you said you were OB for life. So is there like a tattoo coming or something like that? Are you going to get maybe a tattoo of like Jeff Ketchum and, you know, Jason Sukumel giving thumbs up? What are you going to do?
I'm going to get like a championship belt and like just kind of spray paint it, you know. And,
there you go.
And just kind of display it in my office somewhere.
That is awesome. Also, check out 5tool.com for what is on the way for Dustin McComas. Dustin, before I let you go, expand out a little bit on the rest of the Super Regionals. What are the specific teams that you're looking for, not only because you think they could advance, but because you know Texas could also advance and meet up? Like, what are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, you know, with that Mississippi State Notre Dame Super Regional, because that's who Texas would face as the winner of that one to open their appearance in Omaha if they get there. That's going to be a really fascinating one. Notre Dame can really swing the bat, but I kind of wonder what their pitching depth is going to look like if they're in a Game 3 type situation in Starkville. And, you know, what a story it would be for Texas if Mississippi State's the first team they faced in Omaha, and that's one of the teams that they faced in Arlington to open the season when they went 0-3, and it's like, whoa, what's happening here? And everybody kind of freaked out, and then they just regrouped and went on a fantastic run through the regular season. So certainly I'll be watching that one closely, and I'll really be interested in that Virginia DBU Super Regional as well. DBU is a program that's really well coached. You know, fans in Texas know about them, but they're kind of new on the national seed, but they've been knocking on the door to Omaha for a little while now. And I think that this group is definitely capable of winning a Super Regional. They're a fun team to watch. I'll certainly be tuned in there. And then, you know, that Texas Tech Stanford series is going to be a lot of fun. Two pretty evenly matched teams. I think Stanford has one of their better offensive teams. We know it can happen in Lubbock when the ball starts flying there. But I think the Texas Tech Stanford Super Regional and then that Mississippi State Notre Dame Super Regional have a chance to be really competitive and really interesting. Kind of one of those three winner take all type Super Regionals when you got a tense Game 3 and everybody's just kind of throwing whatever they've got left in their bullpen.
That is Dustin McComas. Check out orangebloods.com. Check out 5tool.com. That's where he is going to be headed. And hopefully he's going to be able to finish out with the Longhorns making an Omaha run. He's on Twitter at DMcComasOB if you want to follow him there as well. Dustin, congrats again on the new gig, man. And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks. And yeah, if the stunner happens this weekend, don't blame me. It is most certainly not my fault. I'm not in charge of the baseball gods, but I hope they smile on me for a couple more weeks.
I hope so, too. Thank you, brother. Dustin McComas, great to talk to him, and so happy for him. Such a big-time baseball guy. It's very cool that the King of Ping is going to be getting that opportunity in the baseball world. So Texas and South Florida coming. You know that one already. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. He mentioned Notre Dame and Mississippi State. Let me set that up for you real quick. So that would be the first matchup. Excuse me, in Omaha, if Texas gets the win. Notre Dame, Mississippi State is a 1 o'clock start on ESPN. Whether you are at the dish partying and getting ready tomorrow, a little tailgating, or maybe you're at home getting some things done, the best news I can give you is early on in the tournament, because of the deals that are in place, but also because the softball is still going on, the baseball is tough to grab a hold of, especially if you don't have ESPN Plus. But if you're standing firm on not getting ESPN Plus, great news is Super Regional round, they get it on your television. Everything tomorrow is on either ESPN 2 or ESPN U. And then if stuff crosses over, they can fire it up on ESPN News or wherever else they need to. So today's games are on those networks. ESPN 2 already has the Vandy game going, and it's going to be ESPN U for the rest of the day. So you will be able to see these Super Regional games if you like. So baseball definitely on the board today. The Mullet Open is also on the board. That's why Trey is not here today. He's out there playing in the Mullet Open. Bucky Godbold, who puts the Mullet Open together, will join us at 2 o'clock. We'll get an update on everything going on out there. Make sure everybody's staying hydrated because it is another hot one in the area today. high up into the 90s. Bucky's coming up at 2. Up next, though, unfortunately, there's another update in this Bo Schembechler story. I'll give you that one. Plus at 145, where are we at in society? With Trey on a golf course, John Reichel takes over, and he's got a story about a Texas mother that got arrested. Wait till you hear why. Don't move. It's the Horn. Oh, my goodness. What a great track. All right, I think I can do this. So this would be Metallica's Leper Messiah?
That's correct on both accounts. So,
which would mean that the mega hit you're looking for is Master of Puppets.
Ring-a-ding-ding. Home run.
There we go. For my money, this is the best Metallica album. Just going to throw it out there. I understand there's arguments for Kill 'Em All. I understand there's Ride the Lightning people out there. There may even be Black Album people out there. Maybe you're an Injustice for All fan. It's all fine. It's all dandy. But I'm a Master of Puppets guy myself. Going Master of Puppets and Leper Messiah is a great song. Woo! Now, I remember when I heard this one live the first time. Metallica Live was always an experience back in the day. All right, so what John's doing today is playing the B-side, something off the B-side of an album, and I've got to figure out what the A-side hit is. So he gave me one I could grab there with Master of Puppets. Hope you're having a great Friday. Had a couple of good baseball conversations already with Kevin Dunn and Dustin McComas, probably the two biggest college baseball fans that I know personally into business, and they're ready for Texas and South Florida. And they are realistic about what this opportunity is for Texas. This is not yes, baseball's crazy. It is. It's wacky. It's a crazy 9-inning ride, and you never know. And the Hall of Famers are batting 300, and they fail 7 out of 10. All that's true. It's a shocker if they don't get to Omaha. And deep down, I think they know that, and deep down, I think Texas fans know that. So one of the keys to tomorrow night is going to be get on them quick, show South Florida an atmosphere they've never seen, show them pitching they've never seen, and then you just get to a comfortable win on a Saturday night. We'll see if that happens, or we'll see if South Florida wants to drag Texas into a tougher game, a closer baseball game. You've been adding to the show today, as you always do, on the Specs text line, 337-3776. I'm asking a couple questions today. It's Bruce Robinson's birthday. He's one of my favorite artists of all time, and he's certainly my favorite Austin artist. When I think of a guy that is sort of because of Austin, he's from Bandera. He and Charlie are both from Bandera. Shout out to Charlie Robinson, too. But I found him because of Austin. I saw him in Austin pretty much every time I've ever seen Bruce. It's in Austin. Somebody texted in that they recently saw Bruce and Kelly just a couple weeks ago. So great to hear that they're back out playing shows again. I got to get out there and see them. And they pointed out, see, you want to talk about a crowd moment when Bruce starts playing Traveling Soldier? That's a moment. Yes, it is. I'll never forget the first time I heard it live. He's got so many songs that do that to me, and I just had incredible experiences in that crowd. How about this one? Somebody brings up from their crowd moments, Prince showed up and played Darling Nikki with the Foo Fighters at Madison Square Garden. The crowd went megaton.
Oh my gosh.
It's a great combo.
What a surprise.
Now that would be awesome. Here, one of my favorite surprises that someone I know saw this happen. They go to Vegas and they see Billy Joel and Elton John. So they're there to see those two just icons, right? And he says they just ripped the joint apart. It's awesome. Piano sweat flying everywhere. He said they get to the very end. They go off stage. And without no one said anything about it, no one had talked about it, they are rejoined on stage by AC/DC.
What?
AC/DC performs Back in Black and You Shook Me All Night Long. And then everybody leaves the stage.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. They do those two songs, then Billy Joel and Elton John come back and finish. That's what it was.
Oh my gosh, though. What a...
AC/DC was like the first part of the encore, and then they waved, walked off, and then the two guys come back. Can you imagine?
What a packed show. That is ridiculous.
I would have flipped out. Great. There's nothing like those crowd experiences. It says, I got to see and meet Leonard Cohen because of Austin. Great memory. That is a good memory. Those are good. I mentioned Bruce, but another guy that I always think of with Austin, I met Billy Joe Shaver in Stubbs at the pool table. He was playing pool, and he reaches out that hand that did not have some complete fingers in certain spots and shakes my hand. But that's the night I was introduced to Billy Joe and the band, and I love them. I've seen Shaver maybe as much as I've seen anybody live, maybe except for Bruce Robinson. That's another one of those acts that Austin kind of gave me. Somebody says, I'm from Bandera. I've never seen either of the Robinsons. Sad. That is kind of sad. If you're from Bandera, and the real sad part is I don't think Charlie's performing anymore. He was a great performer. I saw Charlie at Stubbs, too, man. That was a great show back in the day. Best concert ever, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, with Faith No More. Houston Astrodome, 92, during creeping death, 80,000 strong, chanting die, die, die. Insane. Yeah, those are good moments. Those are good moments. The crowd in Dallas screaming seek and destroy over and over again was pretty cool at a show I went to. Those are great. One of the best shows, it's a short list, but one of the best shows I've seen at the Irwin Center, because that place can sometimes squelch out a good show, Metallica on the Load Tour. That was a hell of a show. That in the round thing with the weird, crazy arms on the stage. Because I didn't back out on Metallica until after Reload. I was with them all the way through Load and Reload. So I kind of enjoyed that show. Give us some of your best concert moments. Give us some of those bands or artists that you discovered because of Austin. We'll continue to discuss that. Unfortunately, I'll give you a quick update on this Bo Schembechler thing. Again, sad, horrible story, but just so you're getting the updates on it, and I'm trying to process it. I can't imagine if you're a Michigan fan how you're processing this. So yesterday, we told you about the son of Bo Schembechler, adopted son, if that matters to you, Matt Schembechler, 62 years old now, that is discussing some of the, you know, going over some of these details about his dad and when he told his dad that Dr. Anderson, Robert Anderson, had essentially molested him in a physical back in the day. He told his dad when he was 10. His dad reacted very harshly. His dad actually physically assaulted him for it. And we talked about that yesterday. They had a press conference where Matt spoke, but also two former Michigan players spoke. One of them is named Dan Kwiatkowski, late 70s. The other is named Gilvani Johnson, early 80s. Kwiatkowski says he told Bo Schembechler that the doctor had inappropriately touched him. The response was, toughen up. The guy from the early 80s who said if he'd taken care of this by 1982, I wouldn't have been assaulted, he told Schembechler about it, and he was basically told, not the exact same, not toughen up, wasn't that harsh, but it was, I'll check with the staff, I believe was the response there. I guess in a way dismissing it. Said he would check with the medical staff, but he did not follow up after the initial conversation. Also, this is one of those little despicable sidebars that I'm never going to be able to get out of my mind. The player from the 80s claims he recalls assistant coaches telling players that if they didn't work hard, they would have to go have a visit with Anderson. Wow. That's unbelievable. Like, that is unbelievable stuff. It's like the Jerry Sandusky story when you hear about the creamery and the ice cream flavors and that kind of stuff, and that people joked about it, and that people talked about it around Penn State and knew about it for years and knew that these kind of things were going on, and nobody stopped it. That's what's so treacherous and awful and terrible, that at one source of it, a 10-year-old wasn't helped. By the way, here's another question out of this story I have for Bo Schembechler and his family. Who lets a 10-year-old get a physical alone? Who does that? Who's so busy their 10-year-old gets a physical and nobody else is in the room? And I know that's a complicated question and answer because I have read and heard from a lot of those people in the Larry Nassar story. Sadly, there are plenty of cases where Larry Nassar was abusing a young athlete and their parent was in the room. So I get that that can happen. I get that that can happen before you send a text or whatever. I know I'm kind of answering my own question there, but it's just sad. It's so sad. It's so awful. And you're talking about a historic program, a blue blood feel of a program, the big house and everything that Michigan is, and all those people that wear maize and blue. I'm not sure what to do. And the first question, of course, is, do you leave that statue up? They have a building on campus called Schembechler Hall. Would that surprise anyone? No, he's their biggest legendary coach. It's like, this is, again, it is right back to the Jopa thing. What if he knew, and what if you could prove that he knew way before? That's where we are right now. That is where we are with Bo Schembechler. It is so dark and twisted and despicable. And Jim Harbaugh and the biological son, Glenn or whatever his name is, you can keep saying, I firmly believe that if Bo Schembechler had known, Bo Schembechler would have, okay, well, stop. There's a guy telling you that when he was 10, something happened that shouldn't have. He told Bo, and Bo didn't do a thing. You've got, and there are over 800 other people, not 8, not 80, over 800 other people saying, yeah, that happened to me. That happened to me. And not all the 800, but a lot of those 800. Well, did you tell him? Yep, you did. Uh-huh. Did you do it in English? Yeah. How'd you do it? Coach, the doctor touched me inappropriately. Coach, the doctor did this. Coach, the doctor did this. And Bo Schembechler didn't do a damn thing about it. Unbelievable. It's just crazy. Oh, my God. It's awful. Terrible. Michigan joining Michigan State and joining Penn State. I don't know what to tell the fans. I don't. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I would do if my school got involved in that. If my school had that kind of twisted, dark, sick history. You're willing to cover up that for football? Wow. Even when it's your son. All right. I hate to have to bring it up. I don't technically have to, but I just think it's a story that we need to know. It's out there. It is something that they're trying to work through all of this, and I would be surprised if that statue stays up. With all the discussions we've had about statues lately, we could all have discussions about whether or not that statue, this thing, and people have gone to, is it going too far if you're going after Abe Lincoln's statue? Yeah, maybe. You might want to have that discussion. But this one? This is kind of like the Jopa thing. That thing probably needs to be torn down. Schembechler Hall probably needs to be renamed. Do you have streets named after the man? What are you going to do here? They're still doing the investigation. The university is. And at some point, I guess there'll be a report, a result on what they found and how many Michigan officials looked the other way. Shout out to those guys. Shout out to Mark Schembechler, excuse me, Matt Schembechler, and these two guys, brave enough to talk about it. We got, you know, you got to believe them, right? You got to believe these guys. Why in the world would over 800 people decide to lie at the same time? You got to believe them. You got to look into this. You got to investigate. It's what they're doing. This didn't start till 2018, as weird as that is to believe. Sometimes it is years and years and years and years and years later when you find stuff out. And Schembechler's long gone, but getting to the truth is going to be what's important, I think, for those victims. And sadly, there are a lot of them. So there's the update on the Bo Schembechler story. We will continue to have the fun conversations of the day outside of that, including your favorite crowd moments, because they're bringing the full crowd to Dish Falk Field tomorrow evening. Get sauced up, get fully stocked up, and I'll give you a suggestion here of how to do that. And then it's going to be a crazy scene at Dish Falk Field. What are some of your favorite crowd moments? Sports, concerts, whatever. And what band or artist did you discover because of Austin, Texas? Earlier somebody said they discovered Stevie Ray Vaughan at Maggie Mae's. I don't think any of us can really top that one. That one's tough to top. But we've had some others try. We'll do more of that coming up too. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. Also up next, where are we at in society? John Reichel's got one story that involves Congress, one story that involves a rat. Again, those are two different stories. And a story that involves a mother in the state of Texas. Don't move. This is The Horn. man. What a great song. I'm just going to let this one simmer for a second. Okay, so... Oh, man. So this... I know it's Living Color.
Boom.
Now I just got to figure out... So this is... Such a great band. Oh, I love this band. All right, so... Okay, so this is Funny Vibe.
That's right, yeah, you got it.
And this is Funny Vibe off the end of the Vivid record, so the hit is Cult of Personality.
Boom, boom, boom.
There we
you
go.
You did it.
Oh, this is a great song, great album. The first three Living Color records are wonderful, wonderful. Love Living Color. I'm glad that John remembered I love Living Color, because that makes it a lot easier for me to deal with this. A's and B's, side A, side B. John's playing me the B side, and I got to figure out the A side. So a little Living Color there for you in this 1 o'clock hour. Let's keep you updated on the Super Regionals. Vanderbilt, number 4 overall seed in the country. They are up 2-0 now and looking to add to it. 2-0, couple runners on base. They lead East Carolina bottom 8. So that thing may just be about to end if they can close it out, East Carolina down to their last 3 outs, but they also have to stop Vanderbilt from scoring more runs. We'll keep you updated on that. Before we get out of here, we got Bucky coming in up at 2 to check in from the Mullet Open. That's why Trey's not with us today, because he's out there at the Mullet Open trying to be a good D player. Let's go to our A player, John Reichel. He's ready to roll with Where Are We At in Society. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
It is the very latest from the craziness of the world, and Trey has handed off the insanity to any guest producer we have. John Reichel has taken it on himself to have a list of things. We've whittled it down to 3, and I got a feeling like the state of Texas isn't going to come out of this looking good, John. We starting in Congress here?
That's right, sir. We start with Representative Louis Gohmert. Okay. He's a congressman. And he had a question for the U.S. Forest Service.
Okay, this is a Texas congressman.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, Texas congressman.
All right, go ahead.
He had a question for the U.S. Forest Service in asking about how we can combat climate change. And he knew that due to some solar flares or some stuff that can cause effect on it, supposedly, as well as the moon orbit around the Earth is changing over the years. So he asked point blank, could the Forest Service... can change the moon's orbit.
Wow.
To combat climate change.
He asked the Forest Service with a straight face if they had control in any way over the orbit of the moon around the Earth.
That's right, exactly. He's like, well, that would cause a lot of difference in climate change if we could do that. And the person kept a very straight face, which I can applaud them for, is like, I'll have to look into that, Congressman.
That brings up a follow-up question, Congressman. Can you tell us in 2 sentences what you think the Forest Service does? Because that's crazy. What is that? Like, hey, Forest Service, I need to go to bed a little early tomorrow night. Can you make the sunset like 2 hours earlier? Because I really need to get some sleep.
Out of all the government, like, people that could control the moon, the Forest Service isn't the first one I would pick.
The Forest Service. No, I would go a lot more scientific than the Forest Service,
sure.
But hey, maybe he thought, I don't know, maybe he's watching Return of the Jedi and there was power in those trees.
Sure.
So maybe he thought, I don't know, maybe
get
thought
the Ewoks to help them out.
Thought it was like Endor and they could just send a laser beam up there and control the thing. Wow, that's funny. All right, so hopefully they got Louis all squared away there, and I can't believe we voted for him. All right, what else you got, John?
All right, so we're definitely going to a different part of the world. We're going to Cambodia, where a rat is now retiring. His name is Magua, and he was used for sniffing out landmines. In his career, he sniffed over 71 landmines and 30 unexploded ordnances, and over his career, surveyed over 141,000 square meters, which is roughly the size of 20 soccer fields.
Oh, my God.
And this is a rat. This isn't a dog.
I didn't know rats could do that.
They can drain. The rats are actually very smart and have a good sense of smell. And since they have, you know, obviously have a lot of rats over in Cambodia, they trained them up.
So they have the sense of smell to do it. You can train them to do it. And I'm guessing their relative weight compared to a dog,
that's the ticket.
Is also an advantage because then they're not setting off the landmine as easily.
Exactly.
Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. They're able to get onto the landmine, sniff it, identify it, and be like, hey, there's something here, and so they don't set it off. If I have a dog, again, yeah, it would just set it off.
Wow. So what would that rat do? How would that rat look at the kind of trap that I set, like, out in my shed? Would it just look at me like, really?
He would laugh at you.
I've been sniffing landmines my whole life. You think this bothers me? You think your little bit of poison or your cheese or your buttered bread, Mr. Texan, you think that's doing anything?
Jake could drag a cigarette. The disrespect.
Yeah, that's right. How dare you? How dare you? Wow, that's crazy. Well, good. Hey, happy retirement.
I know. If anyone deserves retirement, it's that rat.
Do we have a name for the rat, or are they just call him, like, badass rat?
His name is Magawa.
Magawa.
Of Cambodia.
All right, you're the man, Magawa. That's incredible. I didn't know rats could do that. Good for them. All right, now back to the state of Texas for more embarrassment.
Exactly. Yeah, we had to outsource our nice story. We're back in Texas for the trash here. So, okay. Texas mother. So, she was arrested recently. And any guesses as to why? Throw some out there. Well, would a mother get arrested?
The mother was arrested for, I'll say she was, she was standing up for her kids. She was fighting for her children.
Yeah,
that's what got her arrested.
That's a good guess, but not good enough. Because this woman got arrested for impersonating her 13-year-old daughter, middle schooler, and going to a full school day as her daughter.
Wow.
And she had a whole getup and everything. Had a hood, had a mask on, had sunglasses. And honestly, if you looked at her like askance, you wouldn't have told the difference. But she went through a whole school day as her daughter. Multiple classes.
Okay.
And lunch.
Okay, so I have no idea why.
And
did she explain why?
She tried to, and she really had some weird roundabout things where she talked about it. And she tried to make it sound like, I was just testing the school's security to see if it could be done.
Oh, come on.
I know. It's really lame. She didn't have any, like, ulterior motive. She wasn't trying to she wasn't trying to get a student like you thought. She just wanted to see if she could do it.
Now, I was hoping it's not. It wasn't like to preserve some kind of perfect attendance thing, was it?
Like, man, that would be nuts if it was. But no, that would be a reason. She didn't have one other than, oh, the school security's kind of bad, and I just wanted to bring light to it.
I just wanted to see. That pretty much makes her the villain from Die Hard 4. The guy that broke into the government's security system just to show them that it was vulnerable.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. You got to find something better to do.
I know. That is, cold case of I have too much time on my hands.
Do we know where the daughter was that day of school?
It's not said. But she obviously wasn't in attendance.
Right.
It would be really funny.
Okay, so she was not in the building.
No, she was not in the building. That would be a surefire way to get caught, like, immediately.
So on some level, you allowed your daughter to not go to school.
That's true.
Or, maybe she was on a team, on a trip or something.
She could have been sick. She could have a viable way, but still.
Yeah, but if she's sick, you should be home taking care of her.
Sure.
You said she's 13 years old? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 13 years old. Middle school.
Oh, my God.
30-year-old woman posing as a 13-year-old.
That is bizarre, man. That is crazy. I'm not going to tell somebody how to parent, necessarily. I'm not going to claim I'm the best parent in the world, but, man. That is goofy. All right, there you go. Where are we at in society? Just to remind you of the crazy things that are going on in the world. We bring it to you every day at about 1:45. There are always crazy things going on out at the Mullet Open, but there's also a lot of money being raised for really good causes. Bucky Godbolt, the man that puts it together. You hear Bucky every morning on B&E. He's nice enough to jump in here at 2 o'clock and tell you what's going on out at the Mullet Open. Has he seen Trey on a golf course? Can Trey actually putt as a D player? We are about to find out. Don't move. It's the Horn.